Okay, we have here a shmoo, which is a certain extent, a continuation of the yesterday's Musar Vad. Obviously, not totally Zebizet, but in other words, yesterday we were discussing from the Shalah, he quotes the Rishonim, what that shvuas has special chashivas. Shalah says that shvuas is the Yom Adin for Ruchnias. And based on the chashivas of Shavuos, so we were discussing the importance of Sfiras HaOmer, because Sfiras HaOmer is the preparation for Shavuos, just like Elo is the preparation for Rosh Hashanah. But the Ramchal, so Moshe Chaim Itzato, here is discussing Sfiras HaOmer from a different perspective, meaning we say, you know, like in the Haggadah, Pesach, Ivu, Kirvano, Lifnei Harsinei, Nosanan Vatatara. In other words, there were, even without Shavuos, right? Even without getting the Torah, each thing that happened had intrinsic chashivas. So, here's what the Ramchal was discussing is Sfira in a vacuum. Right? Yesterday we were discussing that Sfira is so important because it's a prerequisite for Shavuos. But he's discussing Sfira in itself. So that's right. This is a Ramchal. It says it comes from a sefer called Choker Mikubo. I am not familiar with that sefer, but there's a sefer called Yalkut Yediyas HaEmes, which brings different pieces from the Ramchal. Ramchal is from Moshe Chaim Litzato, Mesiris Yesharim, who we know was a very big Mikubo. And one of the amazing things about the Ramchal was that he took certain things that are basically Kabbalistic, and he explained it in a very simple manner that even people who know nothing about Kabbalah can understand. So that's the Derech Hashem. And this piece also is in that type that he's explaining a little bit of the Kabbalistic meaning of Sfira, but in a very simple way. Right? Those who know, it is a known thing that the Mekubalim go very, very big in Sfira. They do, you know, take some an hour, more than an hour, doing Sfiras HaOmer. I remember there was someone in Eretz Yisrael who was known that he used to take a tremendous amount of time saying Sfiras HaOmer. Okay, anyway, so he says as follows. Let's read it inside. Okay, really the first paragraph we can almost skip, but we'll read it quickly. Inyan Sfiras HaOmer who? Ki chamishim shari bina nivru b'ayim. There are 70 gates of bina. Moshe was on the 49th level. The Atmos Abina Hushara Chamishim. And the highest level is the 50th. Low Hissi, he did not reach. Okay, this is his 49 days of Sfira. It's for the 49 days of Bina. Now he's going to sound like he's saying, I'm not sure if the same or different. Kikumo sheyesh tishim tisha v'arbim sharim shal bina v'kedusha. Right now he's adding kedusha. There are 49 gates of wisdom and kedusha, holiness. Ken yesh tishim v'arbim sharim shal tumah. There are 49 gates of tumah. Ve'zeh l'umazeh os elokim. They are parallel. In other words, they're contingent on each other. The same area. It's just the flip side. Yetzer Tov, Yetzer Hara. Zebet Arasa, Zebet Tumasa. Once in Tara, once in Kedushtuma. Bebechines Mechulakos. In difference. In other words, each 49 difference. Koychas HaTuma, can I get Koychas HaKedusha? There, again, parallel. Two tracks. There's a Tuma track and the Kedusha track. Okay. Kshitroya Ibn Mitzrayim. Right, we know this because I'll say that Klai Yisrael and Mitzrayim were on the 49th level of Tumah. And not only were they on the 49th level of Tumah, but they say in the Svarim that they were on the verge of a 50th level. According to many Svarim, especially the Kabbalah Svarim, but this is in the standard quoted, that if Klai Yisrael would have stayed another day or even a short amount of time in Mitzrayim, they would have crossed that line. They would have entered into the 50th Shaar Tumah. And once you get to the 50th Shaar Tumah, then you're not even curable. It's like you have a person, he's on the verge of dying. The verge of dying, he's still alive, you can bring him back to life. But once he crosses the line that he dies, basically that's it, he's dead. So once you cross the 50th Shaar Tumah, then it would have been hopeless. So Klal Yisrael were on the 49th level of Tumah, a drop before crossing into the 50th Shaar Tumah. Okay. That's when they had Yetzias Mitzrayim. They had to get out of this 49th level of Tumah. And it doesn't speak it out exactly, but we know that they had to get to Kabbalah Satara. And to get to Kabbalah Satara, they had to reach Memtash Shaare Kedusha. Klai Yisrael at the time of Kabbalah Satara reached the level of Nevi'is, even higher than Nevi'is probably. They heard Anokhi and Oyinacha Mipi Agvura. Right, I think that's even higher than Nevuah. They heard directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they went in the days, which were 49 days, that were designated from Pesach to Shavuos. They went spiritual journey from Memtash Shaare Tumah to Memtash Shaare Kedusha. Now, how did that happen? So, V'rotz HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Hot Yisrael Mehem, Hashem wanted to take him out of this tumah, ulachnia hamemta shari tumah, to put down the memta shari tumah by druga, slowly. Ayidei shahir aleihem kineged kol shari tumah shari kedusha mekmakbil. The way Hashem did it is that he let the light of each tumah kedusha, which is parallel to the tumah, come out. Bechol yom v'yom shebein Echad the Pesach and the Shavuos. In other words, on every day, a different light of Kedusha came, a different Siyata Deshmaya in one area. There are 49 different areas of Kedusha and Tumah that are parallel. Hashem created some mystical Kayach of Kedusha for that one area each day, for area number one, the first day. Obviously, Klal Yisrael also had to work on themselves, whatever, but with the this was a certain siyata d'shmaya that normally a person in one day cannot go from Shaar Tumah to Shaar Kedusha. But in the Sefirah, in the time of the Sefirah, Hashem went ahead and created this special mystical Kedusha, which helped Bnei Yisrael so that in each day they moved from one of the Shaar Tumahs to the opposite Shaar Kedusha. So therefore, basically saying the first day they went out, right, they moved, there was, let's say, I don't know what the 49 different areas of Tumah are, but let's say one Tumah is Gaiva, will make life easy, one is Kina, one is Taiva, one is, so in this area, they went from the bottom of Tumah to Kedusha, the next day they went in a different area from Tumah to Kedusha, until on the 49th day, they reached Shleimus. And that occurred because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this mystical or. This is the Ramchal Shita that we keep on saying over and over again. The Ramchal Shita, which is that in Yontif, Yontifs are not birthday parties, they're not anniversaries, they're not commemorating, they are in the present. That Hashem, whatever nays happened on that day, it happens, it's Hashem put it in the Teva of the day, and therefore it happens continuously. Every year the same thing happens again to some extent, so that this Nes that happened, that there's an Or on each day of Sefirah, 49 different Oiris, which help bring a person in that particular Tumah to Kedusha, those 49 different Oiris come every day during Sefirah. But he makes a tnai. He says it doesn't just happen by itself. There's a prerequisite that you have to count Sefirah Omer. Somehow or another, I can't explain, right? This is that the counting of the Sefirah of Omer is a vehicle that turns on that Kedusha to come. Now there's a certain mystical Kedusha that helps move the person, but you only get it if you count Sefirah Omer. So, Aidei Sefirah Tishim Arba Yom Omer, Mivein Pesach Yom Atzah Okay. That's the Ramchal. So I had a pretty obvious ha'ar on him. Is if you make a graph and you start out, math, -49, and you have to get to +49. So that means you have to move basically a grand total of 98 levels. Pashas, when I would have said the way to do it would be, if you only have 49 days, so then maybe every day you move up two levels. So the first day you go from -49 to -47, then to -45, then to -43, then you get eventually to zero, then you go to +2, etc., until you get to 49. But that's not what he says. What he says is, the way Hashem did it, and I assume Hashem did it because this way obviously works, and it probably works better, because Hashem could have done my system too, but didn't want to. The way Hashem did it is he didn't move them from -49 to -47, or -40, when he moved them from -49 to +49, except only legabi, my favorite word, legabi one area. Now, we don't know how these areas are, but legabi area number one, they were moved from -49 to +49. So it comes out an amazing thing when you think about it. It comes out that, let's say, the first day after Klaistra went out of Mitzrayim, they got this ore, and they worked on it, because it says in others' farm, this is very Mekitzer, that Klaistra also had to work, they had to do certain things, whatever, because it's obviously Kedusha doesn't come just, as the others' farm say, if it comes just by Matana, then it doesn't have Kiyim, so they had to work to attain it. But so on the first day, they got this special ore in one area. They went in that one area from Memtesh Shari Tumah to Memtesh Shari Kedusha. But where were they holding in all the other areas? In all the other areas, they're still on Memtesh Shari Tumah. So it's a very fascinating situation, something that I think we would think is impossible, that on day one, in one of the 49 areas of life, which again, I don't know how it's broken up. That's, you have to be a Mekubal to explain the 49 areas. But in one area X, one of the 49 areas, Klai Yisrael reached the Madrega of the highest Madrega of Shlemus, Memtesh Shari Kedusha. At the very same time, in every single area, every single other area, they are the biggest lowlifes in the world. Now, that sounds like a tremendous stira. Right? How can you be, if you're such a lowlife in 48 other areas, then how can you be the world's greatest tzaddik? If you're a Memtesh Shari Kedusha, you have to have the seer what that means. Memtesh Shari Kedusha is probably, I do not think the Chafetz Chaim was a Memtesh Shari Kedusha. I don't think the Gro was a Memtesh Shari Kedusha. I don't even think that the Tanoim were a Memtesh Shari Kedusha. It says Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? And, and when it comes to the greatest Rishayim, Memtesh Shari Tumah, Tana Hitler, I'm not sure if he made it to Memtesh Shari Tumah, but maybe he did. Maybe he did. Okay, so you're on Memtesh Shari Tumah in 48 different areas, and on one area, you're greater than the Vilna Gaon. It's a stira. It doesn't work. But yet, it says here that this is the lechatchila dika way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu picked. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't pick my system. Hey, my system maybe isn't good. I don't know. This is the system that HaKadosh Baruch Hu picked, and this is a system that comes every year. So the basic limud hasko is that a person, there is a departmentalized of a person. A person is broken up into 49 different chalakim, whatever that is, I do not know, but there are these 49 different areas, and there is no stira, there's no contradiction. The person can be flunking terribly in one area, and a tremendous tzaddik in a different area, and it's not in any way a contradiction. And it's not saying, I can't be a tzaddik because I'm a rasha there. Okay? Each one is separate. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says something like this. He doesn't exactly say it, so I get take credit for it. But he brings a Yerushalmi in a piece. It's in Achrimos, I think, which has a similar idea. It's not exactly the same, but it's very similar. This is obviously not my bikiyas, because I'm not a baki in Yerushalmi brachas. Maybe badly, you know. No. Not in badly. So it says as follows, that, let's skip a line. I wrote, but let's go back a line. You need a drop of the kiyas, just for make sure. There's such a thing in the Torah called tumas kari. So tumas kari means that if zera comes out from a person, if the sperm comes out, a person becomes a certain level of tumah. That doesn't necessarily mean because it's an avera, even if the zera comes out because he has relations with his wife, even if he's doing mitzvahs yibum, right? You become tameh, just like a woman becomes a nida, not an avera, it's a mitzias. It's like she didn't do anything wrong. Person's tameh at a mace. If a person goes to an avaya, the god of Adar, you become tameh. There are certain things that make a person tameh. So if zera comes out from a person, for no matter what reason, shoigeg, mezen, oines, mitzvah, avera, it makes no difference, he gets a tumas kari. I'm not familiar of and afkaminas, me deraisa, tumas kari. I assume he can't go into the Beis HaMikdash. I'm not sure. But beyond that, I don't know. But now comes, they came along the Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan made a takana, which, that they made a takana, since Ezra made a takana, that a person with a tumas kari is also to learn Torah. Why did he make such a takana? Different reasons. We'll see in the Gemara maybe one of the reasons. So the Gemara says, and we don't keep this takana anymore, for sure, is because the Gemara said that the Chazal saw that it was too difficult, was Yatzah Schara Betzedo, and they were mevatel the takana. So this already, the Yerushalmi is bringing the discussion back and forth. So it says in the Yerushalmi, I wrote, so we go back like a line above where I wrote. Savur Rav Acha b'Shem Rav Tancha and b'Rabbi Chia b'Yumei Rav Yeshua ben Levi. In the time Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Bikshu Lakras HaTfilah Zot. They wanted to get rid of it, which eventually they did. Maybe they did then. Why they want to get rid of it? Mimnei Noshe HaGolil, because of the women from the Galil up north in Israel. Shoyin Ne'akaras Mimnei Atzina. That this takana meant you had to go to the mikveh. Went to the mikveh and it's cold, and it caused the women to become that karas. So the machlokes here in pshatim, the way the play Moshe means, it means not the women, it means that the men would not go to the mikveh because they didn't want to go because it was too cold, they couldn't go. Therefore, if they wouldn't go to the mikveh, then they would have relations with their wives. They couldn't learn Torah. Therefore, what they would do is they would not have relations with their wives. And Mimeda, there was Mevato Pruvu. That's what he learns. Other people learn that even a woman has a din of Tumas Kari. It's in certain cases, if the Zera comes out, and therefore, the women that also would go to the mikvah, and it was very cold, and they got sick, and therefore, they became Akaris. But whatever way, there was a major, serious problem. This takana was causing a serious, serious problem. Serious problem was that the women in the whole Galil were not having children because of this takana. That's major. So they wanted the mevatel of the takana. So Amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi, so Rav Yeshua ben Levi said, you want to get rid of this takana? How could you do such a thing? Chavir, I think it means like a rav, someone, shugoyder es yisrom en avera, someone who is going ahead, or like this takana, or the person who made this takana, which is saving Gleisro from doing averas, at them if action lacquer or so. In other words, you have a motivation. You say there's a problem. The women are not having kids. Terrible problem. But the takana is so amazing. Why is the takana so amazing? Because it saves Gleisro from averas. How does it save Klal Yisrael from Averis? A Maisa. Maisa b'shomer kramim echot. There was a Maisa with a certain person who was a shomer kramim. I don't know if that's relevant for us. Shabbat is akim im eishesish. And he wanted the mezane with an eishesish. Right? Not too good. Achim itakim makom makom ikan heim tovlim. So they were, but, you know, since there was this takana, then if you go ahead, a takana is Ezra, then if you have bia with any woman, Zera comes out, you get tumas carry, you can't learn. So before he would go ahead and have bia with her, he had to prepare for himself a mikvah. So while he was making the achonis of getting a mikvah, so avru avim shavim, so people came by, ubono aveira. In other words, people are going to do an aveira on the spur of the moment. But now, because of this takana, they don't do it on the spur of the moment, because they're not going to be mezane unless they have a mikvah. Memeda, it's a remove the deterrent. Now, obviously, Pshat the Gemara is not that it was one time in the history of humanity it acted as a deterrent, because then that's not a reason not to be about the takana. What Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is saying, that granted is a major problem for this takana, it's causing that women don't have kids, but there's a major toelis because it stops people from averis, and it's giving an example. But this example is not a weird, crazy case. This is a normal example. So if Reish Levis asks this question, it's like it's a mundane thing. Now, obviously, it doesn't say that the person, now the person here is ready to be over on the Isser Eishesish. That's a pretty serious aveira. He's ready to be over on the Isser Eishesish because he has a tremendous taiva. But yet, now, it doesn't say if he couldn't find a mikvah, he wouldn't be mizana. It doesn't say that. But he's ready to delay being mizana, which means a tremendous, obviously he's control, that's a certain amount of self-control. He's delaying it for a certain amount of time. He's ready to risk that there's a good chance that he won't be able, because that's what Chazal say, that by preparing the mikvah, there's a good chance that you'll miss the opportunity. Someone's going to come. So he's delaying. He has enough self-control to control himself. He has enough self-control to, he's ready to risk that he might have to give up his whole pleasure so that he can have the mikvah ready. And the truth is, he could have been mizana and then find the mikvah. But then if he were to do it that way, he'd be missing out till he finds a mikvah. So it'd take him 20 minutes to find the mikvah. He won't be able to learn for 20 minutes. This guy's a masmid. He doesn't want to bother for 20 minutes. Go look for a mikvah. You know, this way, he can learn the whole time. And then, you know, until he makes achanas, then he'll be mizana. And as soon as he's mizana, he'll jump into the mikvah and he can go back to learning. But if he's going to first be mizana, grab the opportunity, be mizana, then look for the mikvah, you know, until he finds the mikvah, he can't learn. So you can have a guy who's ready to be mizana, b'mezid, with an eishesish, but because he doesn't want to lose out on 20 minutes or half, whatever the amount of time of learning, we don't know exactly, but doesn't want to lose out on that amount of time, so therefore, what does he do? He controls his taiva to be mizana, which is okay. Not the total control, but he delays it, which is a pretty hush of a thing. And he knows that he might be giving it up totally. So the pshat is, it's a stira. The guy's a mizana. He wants to be mizana with Asia. At this second, he wants to be mizana. He's worrying about his 20 minutes of learning. The second that he's being mizana, he has a taiva now to be mizana. But he says, but I can't do it now because I'll lose 20 minutes of learning. I'll lose a half hour of learning. Or I might be over at Takanas Ezra. Like, okay, so big deal. You're over at Takanas Ezra. So it's the same basic Yisoid. Yisoid is, the guy's Nikshu and Eishesish. Obviously, he has a problem. He has a big problem. And no one is saying that it's okay. It's major. He has a major problem. And he has to work on it and fix it. This is horrible, horrendous. But the fact that he has a big problem does not in any way mean that he should lose his mida being a masmid. He's a masmid. He learns. The Shnei Dinim Nifradim. I got a terrible problem. I'm a Memtet Sharei Tumma when it comes to me, Mizana. I don't know exactly. But when it comes to learning, I'm on a nice Madrega. I'm a Talmud Chacham. You know, I'm a learner. And the two coexist. And just because I have one problem doesn't mean I give up the other, because they can go ahead and they correspond. I said this today to the high school. So I gave them, said a little differently. Honestly, talk to the high school, say a little differently. But basically, so I gave them a simple mashal. I think it's a very good mashal. One of the things that drive, you know, hard to understand, when you look in some of our wonderful high school, some of the kids are not wearing tzitzit. Right? Even though, how do you know it's under their shirts? But I guess because they're also not buttoning their shirts. But okay. Anyway, so some of the kids are not wearing tzitzit. It's partially, that's a plea. You can buy tzitzit today. Okay, you know, they don't want to wear wool tzitzit. Okay, I understand. Wool tzitzit in Miami is hard. Okay. But you can only see a cotton tzitzis. According to the Ramah, it's a Yemikayim. The mitzvah's essay, the Raisa, with cotton tzitzis. That's how you have B'nai Ashkenaz Paskin. Cotton tzitzis you can get today is about as flimsy as you can get. You can get pretty flimsy, skinny cotton tzitzis. What's the big deal to put on? You wake up in the morning, you put on a pair of tzitzis, you forget about it. You get a mitzvah every second of the day. No, not wearing tzitzis. And they're obeying, talking about, they're not wearing it. So someone told me, the reason why he doesn't wear tzitzis is because I'm not on the madrega. You know, I go ahead and I do whatever averis I do, and I should wear tzitzis. Tzitzis is a bar madrega. You have to be on a madrega to wear tzitzis. It means you're a ben Torah. You know, ben Torah, but you're something. You know, so if I go ahead and I go on the internet, or I do this, or I do that, so I'm not a real Ben Tiras. How can I wear tzitzis? It's a stira. So the answer is, so what? It's not a stira. There's 49 different areas. Every area is unique. Okay, you do whatever you do, you got a problem. We're not condoning it. You have a big problem, you got to work on it. Maybe you're a Memtet Sharei Tumma in your area. But that doesn't mean that there can't be other areas that you can be a Memtet Sharei Kedusha. And that's the way of growth. That's the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created at Har Sinai, for the Klal Yisrael to grow, the proper way of growth, if for sure one of the proper ways, if not the better way, is not to try and work on everything at once, moving up slowly everything. The way apparently that Hashem picked is, you isolate points. First I work on tzitzis, then I work on, okay, you work on tzitzis and you can be a forget about everything else. Not a forget, but you're not, okay, you don't do everything else, but you, these tzitzis you can do. Then next day you work on Shabbos, and next day you work on Kashrus, right? I don't know exactly how the 49 areas go. But the idea that if you're not good in one, there's no reason whatsoever why your person cannot be in the other area, a Memtet Sharei Kedusha. Because if that's not where you have a Yetzirah, if you don't have any Yetzirah in that area, so you can reach the highest Madrega, and there's no excuse and no reason why not. And that's a certain sense what's happening here in Brachas, in Yishalmi, that the person was worried about his Hasmada, and for that, he knows he's a Mizana, but I'm also a Masmid. Shnei Dinim Nifradim. And that's what's happening in Sfiras Omer. On the day one or two or three, Klais were on the lowest levels in many areas, and on other areas, they reached the highest Madrega of Kedusha. So therefore, a person should never use his shortcomings, which are obviously unexcusable, and we're not, but he can never use his shortcomings as an excuse to explain other shortcomings or chesroinus or why he doesn't reach the highest madrega of shleimus.